When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Let's have a bear meeting here.
A one, two.
Brian Baldinger.
Oh, this is awesome.
NFL analyst for the NFL Network and Fox Sports.
I think for the first time, I feel like they got a real quarterback.
Odyssey NFL Insider.
It's a new beginning. This isn't Mitch Trubisky. This isn't Rex Grossman.
Host of Baldy's Breakdown.
A lot of these concepts that Matt LaFleur uses here, like those plays, a little bit of luck, too many bears on the ground all game long, the Packers come to Chicago and win again.
Brian Baldinger with Mully and Haw.
Like, this is...
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We are joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the best football show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. And Baldy joins us on the Aturo hotline, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm good, guys. It's good to be with you.
Well, we always love
to kick off week 12 here. I'm in good shape here, guys.
Well,
good.
We're still reeling. Today, the special teams coordinator will speak at Hellas Hall. We haven't heard from him since the fouled field goal at the end of the horrible game against Green Bay. That is their biggest rival. That is 11 in a row for Green Bay against the Bears, and they block a field goal to do that. And Brian, I'm sure you've seen it, and I know you know what's supposed to be done on a field goal. We've been talking to various people about it, and Patrick Manley, the great long snapper for many years with the Bears, was saying that the attitude you have to have on that last play is to understand that it's almost like the difference between a regular season and a playoff situation, that when you get into a game-winning field goal, you know they're going to do everything humanly possible to block it, and you got to hold up no matter what, and you can't just surrender the A-gap.
I totally agree with Patrick, and I said the same thing. You know, the only way Green Bay could really win this game is if they block the field goal. You know, as a field goal protecting unit, you're going to get their very best rush. And to Patrick's point, it's a totally different rush than it is on an extra point in the first quarter or a chip shot field goal in the second quarter. You're not getting the block to win a game. When there's no time left on the clock or 30 seconds left, whatever it was, you're going to get their very best effort. And so you have to protect inside out. And everybody does, all across, starting with the guards, to the tackles, to the ends, to the wing. You always protect inside first, outside. And you got to be as strong as you possibly can on the inside. And they weren't. It's the same thing that happened the week before when Denver had their field goal blocked on an overload block by Kansas City. It's the exact same thing. And you would think, if I was a special teams coach, I'd put those plays up there for my team to watch every week. The plays that get you beat. Because at the start of the season, you want to win two games because of your special teams. You definitely don't want to lose two games because of it. And the Bears just lost a game because of a simple protection.
In your view, you saw Larry Borum, you saw Matt Pryor, you saw Scott Daly get overwhelmed. But in your view, was it more of them getting beaten like they did or the low trajectory of the kick from Cairo Santos?
You never know about the kick. It did look low, but at the same time, I mean, I put it on the guys you just mentioned. I mean, they're the guys responsible. They got run over in the middle. They probably did some things to the center you're not allowed to do. You know, that stuff happens. But, you know, that's Larry's job inside. It starts there at the guard, and you got to be strong. You got to be strong at the point. There's ways to hold the water, to hold your center of gravity, to keep it down and not get blown out like they did.
But Brian, when in your career, were you on special teams?
Yeah.
You've always been there and done
this.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know this.
Honestly, nobody tries to block a field goal in practice in the offseason, but you practice stuff every day. You have your special team drills every day, and you walk through it, and you rehearse situations, overloads, middle blocks, guys like Miles Garrett that jump over offensive lines and block kicks like he did this year. Like, you rehearse all that stuff, and you watch it. You put those plays up on the screen, and you study it in your meetings. And so when the time comes, like the time came, to go win the, you know, to win the game against Green Bay, you're not in that predicament.
Insider calls are brought to you by Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellmann's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes every football season. So, Brian, you're very familiar with the Bears offense under Shane Waldron. Thomas Brown got his shot, seemed more efficient, seems to be things were a little bit more balanced, certainly. What was the biggest change in your view?
Well, I think they got the ball out faster. You know, I think DJ had, you know, caught all six or seven passes they threw to him. They weren't deep down the field. They were more short passes. And so they got a lot more completions, higher completion percentage throws. I thought that was the big thing. They didn't, you know, but, you know, to their demise, they didn't take deep shots, and they didn't try to get explosive plays. And, you know, I think there's a balance there between getting your completions and getting your explosive plays in the offense.
I want to get back to the field goal thing for just one last question, which is, and we've had a long conversation about this. The game is, you know, they have to convert a fourth down to get effectively into field goal range, and they do so, and then you run a play, and the running back dives forward, looked like he might have gotten stopped, then he dives forward, you get a couple yards, and then the coach is satisfied. It's going to be a 46, 47-yard field goal, and that's it. And you let the clock run out, and you stop it with 3 seconds left, and you kick. And watching it live, I'm not second-guessing anything. I first-guessed it.
No, second-guess it.
Don't you have to? It's second down. Don't you have to get as close as humanly possible? Don't you have to run a play there? You could even run two. But I get the fear factor and all that. Why be satisfied with that long a field goal?
Why be scared?
Well, here's the thing. The exact same situation happened in Los Angeles with the Chargers against Cincinnati this past weekend, where they get the ball with 45 seconds to go, 27-27 game. They get two explosive plays. They're down to the 26-yard line, and they could have kicked the field goal. They could have done exactly what the Bears did. And Harbaugh lined up, I formation, J.K. Dobbins ran in for a touchdown. Game over. Never kicked a field goal. Never lined up for it. I think you have to get as close as you can. And even if you're going to run the way they did, why run to the hash? Why not put it in the middle of the field? Like, the play didn't make any sense to me. Like, if you're going to run it, presumably you want to put the ball in the middle of the field, have the best view of the uprights. I didn't like the play, and I didn't like the fact that they ran the clock down to three and didn't trust them to run another play. Because who knows? I'm not going to throw the ball in that situation, but I'm going to run it again. Who knows if you get a split, you break a tackle, and you get 10 yards closer. You won't never know unless you run that play. I would have run another play.
This segment with Brian Baldinger is brought to you by TimberTech Decking and Railing. Everything wood should be. Visit TimberTech.com. Brian, when you watch the Bears defense on tape, what do you see from Montez Sweat? And is there a reasonable explanation why he only has 3.5 sacks through 10 games?
Well, he's not winning one-on-ones. He's not, he's not crushing the pocket the way we saw him do a year ago with any regularity. He doesn't look right to me. I don't know if the injury status or what he's playing with right now, but he doesn't look right. And the pass rush is non-existent right now. And he was the focal point last year. Dexter inside, him outside. And then when they do try to blitz, like they did on the big pass play to Christian Watson, the blitzes don't make any sense. Like, there's no disguise to any of it. Both linebackers came. Both linebackers were easily picked up. There was no pressure on Jordan Love at all. So if you're going to compensate for the lack of pass rush, at least be a little creative in your pass rush.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they're losing on both sides of the line of scrimmage, and it's really hard to win football games when that happens. And I know they've been beaten up on the offensive line, and maybe you're right. Maybe it is the shin/ankle that is felling Montez Sweat. But the reality is, and Billings is out, and they don't have another player like him. But they are losing the line of scrimmage, and it's how you end up at a 4-game losing streak.
Yeah, no, the games are won in the trenches, flat out. And, you know, the quarterback has to play error-free. He's got to make big plays. You know, Jordan Love got the big plays to Christian Watson, and the one down the field. I mean, he's double covered. They just don't play the ball in the air very well. But they won on two big plays. I mean, that's how they won the game. And so the Bears aren't getting those plays. And then, you know, they're not winning in the trenches. And that's why you lose games. And so you got to be deep. And you got to be talented in the trenches. And if you look at them versus other teams that have winning records right now, you would say that that's the biggest difference between the Bears and other teams, whether it's Detroit or Minnesota, or pick a team right now. The Eagles, I mean, they're not as good in the trenches as they need to be right now.
Well, Brian, the Vikings lead the NFL in interceptions with 16. And yesterday, Caleb Williams called Brian Flores the king of the zero blitz. So you know they're going to come after the rookie quarterback. What do you expect from the Bears in response to that? And in some odd way, could that make Caleb Williams more dangerous as a runner if they come at him with all the blitzes?
Well, you know, obviously he's pretty skilled at that. Brian Flores does a whole lot more than just zero blitz. I mean, they broke the protections down of Tennessee repeatedly last week where Will Levis didn't have a chance. And the offensive line was sitting there like having a coffee clutch trying to figure out what they just did wrong. Like he is, it's a game of three card Monty. You don't know where, the dice is right now. And he's excellent at it. And then they've got extremely versatile players. You know, Andrew Van Ginkle can line up anywhere. Josh Metellus can line up anywhere. You're not really sure how to account for some of these guys. Pat Jones lines up everywhere. Blake Cashman lines up everywhere. And then they've got corners that he trusts, whether it's Stephon Gilmore, who, you know, was the defensive player of the year for him in New England years ago, or whether it's, you know, Byron Murphy Jr. Like, these guys can line up and play man coverage. So the quarterback and the offensive line and the protections of Thomas Brown are going to be challenged. And it's not just third downs. They will challenge protections from anywhere on the field. It's one of the reasons why they have 16 interceptions. Quarterbacks are throwing the ball up for grabs under pressure. So you have to be aggressive, but you can't turn it over. It's a difficult conundrum, and it's one of the reasons why they have the record that they have right now.
You know, you said it well about what happened last week, and even just you're not throwing the ball down the field. The Bears haven't been doing that. And I'm wondering, you know, Caleb is doing a good job of not throwing picks, but it's almost like they're turning him into a game manager. You can't be afraid to throw a pick. You've got to take a shot down the field. In a game like this, would it be the worst thing if he threw a pick? I'm not saying you're looking to do that, but if you got to go down the field. It just feels like they're so limited in the way they're attacking teams.
Well, I agree, but you know the rules are made for it. You know, I mean, Stephon Gilmore is not what he was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So you got to, you know, he's guilty of defensive pass interference calls. So is, like, if you don't throw the ball down the field, you're never getting one of those plays. And the only way you get those is if you attack. And I would say that Patrick Mahomes, he might lead the league in interceptions right now. He could care less. He's always going to attack. And so that's one of the reasons why he's got three Super Bowls. He has no fear in attacking and throwing the ball and giving his receivers a chance. It looks like he's most comfortable throwing the ball down the field to Rome. So, I mean, I dial up a couple max protections and take my chances and take my shots. They're very good in the back end. Harrison Smith's been around a long, long time.
Yep.
I think he's got 35 or 36 career interceptions. Cade Bynum is a very good safety. But they'll play three deep coverages. Like, their coverages are, if you had to just script them and all the different things that they do, you'd run out of paper. Like, they give you a lot of looks. And so, you know, you hope, honestly, that you can run the ball really well up front and stay out of some of those situations.
Great stuff, Brian. Appreciate the time this morning.
Thanks, Brian.
Yep, you bet, guys. Take care. Talk to you next week.
That is our guy, Brian Baldinger. He is an Odyssey NFL Insider, the host of the best football show podcast and insider calls, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious.
He made a really good point there about, at the end, Brian Flores and this expectation that all they're going to do is blitz the Bears.
Yeah, that's
every down is not going to be a blitz, and every down is going to be a crossword puzzle that you're going to have to sit there and try to solve.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot. It's going to take a lot of study to understand what's going to happen, and even then, they're going to surprise Caleb Williams on different occasions. So that's the reality of what's in front of them. He also said they got to run the football. And that might not be as easy if the running back is not available, DeAndre Swift.
So, he's got to be available.
Yes, he does.
He's got the groin injury that kept him out of practice on Wednesday. We'll see the injury report later today, and we'll see if he's on the field, and hopefully he will be for the Bears' sake.
Yes, and before the Chicago takes on Minnesota, tune in Sunday from 9 to noon for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score. It's presented by Aurelio's, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley. I will also be there. We'll get you set for the game. And believe me, I understand I should stay out of the way. Then immediately following the game, we'll have an instant reaction on the Great Clips post-game show presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse Chicago, and Timber Tech Decking and Railing. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app.
Also, right now, I want you to be the sixth caller to the Scores contest line, 312-540-0670, and you can win a pair of tickets to see Tyler Childers at the Alpine Music Theater next July. That's 312-540-0670. Be the sixth caller.
And while we're at it, tonight the Browns host the Steelers on Thursday Night Football. The pregame coverage begins at 6:30. Kickoff at 7:15. Right here on The Score and the Odyssey app.
All right, when we come back, set up our final segment here. We have a couple.
This is the one.
Very
this
interesting.
This is the one they're going to remember us
very
for.
Interesting hockey nuggets I want to share and discuss with you.
No, come on.
No, that's a bad tease, Molly.
Look out the window. It's hockey time.
It's hockey time. Look out the window. Oh, my gosh.
I saw the new jerseys. Gosh. I saw the new jerseys.
The Winter Classic ones.
Winter Classic.
Pretty cool.
Wrigley. They look pretty good.
They're pretty cool. They do dress well.
Yes, they dress very
well. They do.
They have to, especially in this weather.
And the snow's coming.
This looks like, I mean, I'm looking out the window.
I want to lock the studio door.
We look like we're in Whitechapel.
I don't want to go anywhere.
Jack the Ripper weather. And
I hate winter.
He gets stuck in snow here. It's Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And this is wild stuff. I'm reading the Instagram update from Jonathan Taves.
It's really interesting.
Yes.
And if you haven't heard from Jonathan Taves in a while, it's because he's been in India for the last 5 weeks. Yes, yeah. India. And there's a photo of Jonathan Taves with five Indian women and two Indian men, and he is
Towering over them.
And he has a long explanation about how he has basically spent the last 5 weeks undergoing an Ayurvedic detox program called Panchakarma. Panchakarma, and he's happy to say things are trending. So essentially, he is going through some healing, a healing protocol designed to restore your health by cleansing and releasing toxins stored deep in the body, according to Taser. Can I still call him Taser if he's out of hockey?
Yes.
And then he's saying, Taser. Essentially, the wisdom of Ayurveda has taught him that everything I experience, I'm responsible for. Not only did it teach me better diet choices specific to my body type, it has deepened my intuitive relationship with myself and the world around me.
And you should know, just as a background, that Ayurvedic medicine in India is it's like a regular medical system, much like regular medicine in the United States. It is state sponsored. It's
conventional.
And it's
considered conventional there.
It's overseen. Yeah. It is. There are rules that have to be followed.
Regulated.
It's in the United States. You can do it, but you better check what everyone's background is, because in India they do that for you. It is regulated, and it's really they have to be licensed to perform it. So I don't know that we have any licensing of any kind. If you hear about this sort of stuff here, and I'm not saying it doesn't work here.
In his post, he points out that Ayurveda translates to, quote, knowledge of life and has been the healing science of India for over 5,000 years.
Yes.
So that is what you're referring to, and views our bodies as delicate ecosystems influenced by everything we consume as far as energy, information, thoughts, feelings, and food.
Right. I think it's amazing that he's trending in the right way because, he has... He's really, it's too long a story to share all the details, but it's been almost 5 years of searching for a way to heal the inflammatory and immune system issues that took me out of hockey.
That's really telling.
Yes.
That he has now gone to, these are great lengths.
These are great lengths.
To find out what has been ailing him, what has been maybe affecting his body. And there was always some mystery surrounding his absence and then the return and all the things that made the condition that he was dealing with murky at best. So good to hear from him. He looks very happy in the photo.
He looks great in the photo.
He's one of the more impactful Chicago athletes we've had in this town for the last 20, 25 years. You have to say that. And so when you hear from him in something like this, it stands out. Very, very interesting. This doesn't mean... I don't think anyone expects Jonathan Toews to play hockey again.
No.
I don't want to say anyone, but I think that's a long shot, and this isn't related to that at all. We're not saying that there's a remote chance. It's just good to hear from the captain, as he's known here, and that he's feeling positive and healthy about his future.
Yeah, super cool story.
Wow. So anyway, the Blackhawks back in action tonight against the Florida Panthers, two teams that were coached once by Joe Quenneville.
Yeah.
Why is that interesting? Well, Joe Quenneville, as we know, over the summer was reinstated by the NHL, along with Stan Bowman, who is now the vice president of hockey operations in Edmonton. Joe Quenneville's name came up earlier this week as speculation about the next coach for the Boston Bruins, who fired Jim Montgomery 2 years after a great...
winning a Stanley Cup?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about different standards in different cities. So anyway, Joe Quenneville... on the short list, potentially, I've seen it mentioned, reportedly, of guys who will be given a look by the Bruins or could be interviewed and take over. He has done it before. We know it hasn't coached in a while since the Panthers, and he was banned from the league. So
he's
been reinstated. Yeah.
So he's available to hire, whether anyone likes it or not. He has been reinstated by the league, and I think he would be successful. If he did take over there. Everybody has their own opinions, and we'll hear from people, and how dare you talk about that, blah, blah, blah. They reinstated the guy. He's available to anyone.
He's available, and he would make an impact. You're right.
Yes,
he's got the experience, and he would need some a veteran team with some talent, in which you would think that would fit the bill. It would be he would not face a suspension. There was a report that a team inquired at the league office within the past month to find out if he would, if they were to hire him, face a suspension. He's already served his time in exile, whatever you want to call it. So he would be back in play if the Bruins go that direction. Not sure what the backlash would be from other hockey communities or cities. Not sure what the type of reception or reaction he would get around the league. But it does set up some very fascinating scenarios. Have to look at the Blackhawks schedule to know if and when they play the Bruins in Chicago. Can you imagine that?
No.
Imagine that one.
No. Wow. I would imagine that he would get a great reception.
I don't know.
I think he would.
I don't know about that.
Hawk fans, season ticket holders.
A lot of them might feel like they were betrayed by him.
I'd be curious.
I would be curious.
Also, and I know that you don't want to talk about this, but I think it's something worth mentioning. There are two class action suits that have been filed against Netflix over the broadcast of the Jake Paul Tyson fight, which had its buffering problems and the pixelation and all of the way that it was done. There are people now that are gathering together. And let's be honest about it. It's really easy to do a class action lawsuit. But just the idea that there are two already there would tell you that they better get their act together by Christmas.
They better.
When they have the doubleheader going.
Then it gets real.
Important games in the
then
NFL.
Then it gets real.
Well, and that's another problem with the fight. But this one would be real, as you say. And the idea that they're going to be sued over it by people that pay for the service, it wasn't an extra cost. But if you pay for Netflix, and I guess a lot of people did just kind of sign up in order to watch that fight, whatever. 65 million people watched worldwide, at least 65 million. And there are now lawsuits pending because they couldn't handle it. And it's, you know, something that they better clean up by Christmas.
No doubt about it. So two class action suits?
Yeah.
That's very, we live in a very litigious society.
Yes, we do.
But I understand people feeling like they were cheated or wronged, or that the reaction that night for some people, you see the social media having some of the antics that were as a result of people not getting their Netflix, not being able to watch the fight, all the buffering going on.
Yes, it was. As I told you, we were doing like a text thing with my brothers. One brother lives in England, the other in Florida. We were all having problems. All over the place, everybody was having problems. Dustin, you had a problem, right? What, do you got a problem? But, yeah, there were a lot of problems with the broadcast.
By the way, closing the loop on the Blackhawks schedule, wouldn't it be something? December 4th, the Boston Bruins visit the United Center.
You booing? Or
December
you
4th.
Oh, what are you doing?
I'm working. I'm working press.
That's a good answer.
I'm being objective
there's no
and professional,
no
and there is no cheering
in the press box.
In the press box, and I would probably find a way to get into the press box that night.
Yeah. Dustin, cheering, booing, what are you?
Coach Q?
Yeah.
It's tough. TBD. I still got questions. I just
Brandon?
You know, did he write
Mr.
that
Hockey?
Did he write that letter of recommendation?
Brandon, are you cheering? Are you booing?
I'm feeling the same. I'd probably just be quiet. I probably wouldn't say anything.
It's interesting.
Just a head nod probably or something like that.
But I side with the fact if the league has cleared him,
yes,
then I think a team has the right to hire him. I'm speaking about would I stand – I wouldn't boo or cheer. I'd probably just drink my $15 beer.
Right. Well, are they down to 15 on sale?
David, anytime you want to take me to a Hawks game, you know.
Feel free.
Same
Black
here,
Hawks Haw.
Yeah.
Vegas Haw, Black
that
Hawks
makes,
Haw.
That makes a show.
You guys want to have a show trip to a Hawks
show
game?
Show trip on David.
I think that'd be fun. All right, let me check.
You know what
schedule.
I really want to do? If you really want to know what I want to do,
what do
is
you
a
do?
Show trip.
Yeah.
And I've never done this. And maybe you guys have as writers. I'm guessing you haven't done
let
it as
Let me guess.
Fans.
You want to go to India and you want to get
no
5 weeks of trip.
I just ate Indian food for the first time. You and I talked about it. I enjoyed it. I
yes.
will return to the place that I had Indian food, but it was the first time I ever had it.
And?
I enjoyed it.
Loved it.
Loved it.
I
yeah.
love
yeah.
Indian
great.
Food.
It's really good.
Went with a great group of people. They knew what they were doing. I hope I can remember what to order when I go
chicken
again. But this
masala.
Is what I want to do.
Yeah. All right, sorry, go ahead.
I want to go to a noon kick Bears game, and then I want to go to a Blackhawks game that night.
You want a doubleheader.
I want a Bears-Blackhawks
doubleheader. Is it possible this Sunday? Do the Hawks play at home Sunday night? Have to check that.
Don't you love that you give him a little and he?
Curious. What is the fascination in doing two in one day?
I just don't think it's very. It's rare. Hard enough to do one, let alone two.
I've told the story before, but I have a
like a column on it, right?
Did a column on it. I did five in one day, or I did a Cubs, Sox, Bears, Hawks. So it was four
That wasn't quite a sports equinox.
No, because the Bulls, I think, weren't playing because they couldn't play at the United Center. But I think I started at Soldier Field, and I went to Wrigley Field, then I went to Guaranteed Rate Field, and then I went to the United Center.
Obviously, you couldn't catch them all.
Of course.
Okay, I'm just
to say that I did it.
That you did it, just to have that claim.
And I got the ticket stubs from every place.
Everything.
I remember doing the doubleheader that Dustin is talking about, you know, going to a Bears game. I was working. And then after I was done, I went to a Hawks game with one of my friends. And there were people that had made that trip and they were very intoxicated. And there was this guy who like finished his beer and then threw the cup on the ice and then made all these obscene gestures toward the team. The Hawks had lost this game. And then he saw security and he ran away. And myself and my buddy that I met at this game, we were doubled over laughing at the way this guy had reacted to his day at the Bears/Hawks. Didn't react well. Both teams lost.
That's a long day.
Yeah, it's a long day.
That's a long
day. Yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to be ready to produce at 2:30 in the morning or talk at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Just sleep and go at it. That's fine. The next day,
I'm going to look into seeing if this is a possibility during the Christmas, New Year's break time.
I think the problem was demon booze, is what I'm telling you. So as long as I think you'd be able to get up and broadcast.
Well, based on the state of these two teams, I don't know how you could get through both those games without having a cocktail or three.
Yeah, that's going to put you out about $50.
No. Remember, you're taking.
No, he's.
That's right,
remember,
right, that
remember
what
okay, you're taking. Right, you know, show right. trip.
I can see that. We'll have to check the schedule. See if I'm busy that day.
Yeah. What about if he gets you tickets to the Prep Bowl?
How about the Rita Mount Carmel game, Molly?
There you go.
This weekend, what do they call that, Brandon? I was shocked, but they're doing it on social media. They are this game a lot of
blood.
Yeah, like the
bad blood,
the Catholic bloodbath or something.
Yeah, it was called something like that. Yeah,
that's pretty bad imagery.
Just so you know,
two Catholic schools.
It's Southside pronunciation. It would be the Rita's Carmel game.
St. Rita's.
Do you drop the mount, or then everybody knows you're talking about? Is that okay?
Yeah. Well, no one on the South Side has ever been to like Carmel High School. It's too far away. But it was Rita's.
Big test for Jordan Lynch's team.
They got it. Really.
Oh, listen, it's Mr. Mount Carmel here.
Here we go.
Okay.
Little. Isn't it Rita's?
Yes.
Thank you.
Southside Holy War this Saturday at 3:00.
Is that at
blasphemous?
At St. Rita.
At Quigley South.
Yeah. Doyle Stadium.
Yeah, they ruined my beautiful school and put a bunch of buildings up so that they overshadowed the G Lumber, where I used to always go and buy a toaster for my mom for Christmas.
Who do the Dukes have this week, Dustin?
Dukes are going to be taking residency in Naperville, the Naperville North Red Hawks, I believe.
Okay. Is that winnable?
I think they're 10-1. Anything's possible. I think I'll be at the spring in. I will spring in and stumble out.
So it's a win and you go to the state final, right?
You get a free drink every time you mention that place because that's really all you talk about.
You want a sponsorship?
No, that's where I go. That's where I go to watch the games.
See, this guy's got more booze coming in than
Circa and the spring in. That's the two things Dustin endorses the most.
Yes.
You know, it's like, keep talking.
He stopped sending out photos from various kitchens around.
It is a big weekend for high school football.
I still don't know why that bothered you so much. Obviously, somebody alerted you to that.
What?
100 years ago, I sent out a picture of a steak that I ate, and Molly wasn't thrilled. We'll leave it at that.
And we're still hearing about it 15 years later?
Yes.
Oh, that's shocking.
When we have the Molly roast, I'm going to get a steak from that restaurant. The Molly roast.
When is this Molly roast?
Oh, they're going to have one eventually.
Okay. Turn your phone off.
You just silence your phone while working. Okay. Silence your phone while working.
Who had their phone on?
Did you hear Dustin? Went off.
Well, I knew my phone went off. I was worried it was me.
Did you scold Lawrence, by the way, for stealing your nickname for me the other day?
What? I never scolded Lawrence for anything. What are you talking about?
He called me Dustino.
Oh, no.
Only you call me Dustino, or my daughter, Finley, because she listens to you on the radio. She'll be like, okay, Dustino.
I have known you as Dustino from long before we worked together here.
Yes.
You were Dustino back in the day. That's where Dustino comes from.
I did not know that.
And it probably my Italian heritage.
I know you're Italian.
I went to school there. Learned a lot about life.
I thought you went to Rita's.
I went to Quigley South.
Okay.
Go Spartans, not Mustangs.
You guys have all mentioned your high schools. I have to mention mine. North Judson has a big game Friday night against South Adams at home.
Are you going?
Liberty Field. I can't go.
Wow.
I can't go. I want to go. But you know what? If they win, they go to play in the state finals on the Thanksgiving weekend, and I will be in Indy if they win this weekend.
Do the high school kids have to carry you on and off the field?
No.
I have returned.
Stop it. Stop it. Go Blue Jays. All right. You know what? Right now, we can give away some tickets before we get out of here. Right now, be the sixth caller to the Scores contest line, 312-540-0670. You can win a pair of tickets to see B96 B-Bash at the Salt Shed. That's a great venue. It's a great night. December 12th, 312-540-0670.
Do I have to support St. Rita's because I went to Quigley?
Yes.
How does that work?
That is how it works.
Okay. So I'm like I'm a honorary Mustang in
By
this
By proxy,
game?
Yes. That's the way it works. I made the rules.
Okay. I didn't know. Thank you for ordering me. All right, we got, I believe it's Dan and Marshall.
Yes.
And we'll talk to them next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.